Blog Talk Radio.
So you want your charity to succeed. It's no secret that combining online and offline techniques is the key to modern-day fundraising success, and practical advice is what you need. The Nonprofit Coach with Ted Hart is the perfect place to learn from experts around the world who, along with our host, provide advice you can use. Ted Hart is without a doubt one of the foremost nonprofit thought leaders. Also a successful author, his books cover a broad range of topics from major gift fundraising to use of social media and how to succeed online. Ted lectures around the world, but now he's here for you. From the latest in charity news, technology, fundraising, and social networking, Ted and his guests help you maneuver through this economic downturn in the charitable sector to greater levels of efficiency and fundraising success. Remember, this is a live call-in show. Become part of the show by adding your voice. Call now at 347-324-3080. After the show, you can find all our podcasts at tedhart.com. Just click on radio links. Don't forget to dial 347-324-3080. Now, welcome the host of the Nonprofit Coach, Ted Hart.
And welcome here to the Nonprofit Coach. Great to be back here in Washington, D.C. This is Tuesday, October 25th, and I'm coming to you live from the nation's capital on a bright and beautiful sunny day. We've got a full show for you with lots of information on Page One News. As our intro host shared with you, you can call in to 347-324-3080 for our Page 2 expert, who today is Stephen Nill. You also can join us in the chat room and ask questions there, or email me at tedhart@tedhart.com. As always here on the Nonprofit Coach, we start with Page 1 News. First up here on Page One News, for those of you who are familiar, and I want to let those that are new here to the Nonprofit Coach to know that you can always follow along with the radio links at tedhart.com. Just click on radio links and you'll receive a link to all of our Page One News items today. You can follow along on our Twitter at Ted Hart and get advance notice of our very best Page One links. First up here on Page One News is 10 new Twitter tools that will help you get tweeting. So if you're still on the sidelines or you're looking for some great tools to help you organize your hashtags to follow and analyze what's happening on Twitter for your organization, check it out in the radio links, 10 new Twitter tools that will get you tweeting. Next up here on the Nonprofit Coach is really a reminder of an excellent program, a very important program available for charitable organizations, and that comes to us from TechSoup Stock, and this is the Microsoft Donation Program. Microsoft donations are available to nonprofits with a 501c3 designation and to public libraries. Some types of nonprofits are not eligible, such as education institutions, political organizations, and many faith-based organizations. But for the rest of the charitable organizations, it is a great way for you to extend your budgets, for you to receive the latest in Microsoft software tools that have already been donated by Microsoft and are sitting in the warehouses at TechSoup. Go to our radio links today for all of the information on how you can apply to receive these titles. If your organization is faith-based but has a primary mission or program that is non-religious or secular, you might be able to register at TechSoup with an organizational type that is eligible for Microsoft donations. So don't give up, and there are some special rules for public libraries as well. All of this is handled by the good folks at TechSoup, and we're providing you with a link to that information today at tedhart.com. Click on radio links. Next up here on page one news comes to us a wonderful SlideShare posting from HubSpot. And this is the 2011 State of Inbound Marketing report that comes to us from HubSpot. And just some of the updates that are available here that I thought were very important, and that is relating to blogs and social media channels. These are generating real customers, with 50% of companies that are using blogs reporting that they acquired customers from leads generated directly from their blogs. More and more businesses are blogging right now. There's a big uptick from last year at 48% to this year to 65%, and businesses are increasingly aware that blogs have high value. 85% of businesses related their company blogs as useful, important, or critical, and a whopping 27% rated their company blogs as critical to their business. So if you're a charitable organization and you are not currently providing online content and opportunities for inbound marketing, check it out over in the radio links today and start thinking about your strategy and how inbound marketing can change the face of your organization. Next up here on the Nonprofit Coach, here on the radio links, is a very important link that is coming to us from ASFA Connect. The American Schools Foundation Alliance has a really terrific new article from Kent Stroman. Now, Kent has been a guest here on the Nonprofit Coach, did a fantastic job, and is one of our more popular podcasts. Keep in mind that the podcasts are also available at tedhart.com. Click on radio links. But this is a wonderful article that will help you think through your major donor outreach. This is Tricks of the Trade for improving your major donor outreach. So read all about it over in the radio links today at tedhart.com. Next up here on the Nonprofit Coach is a very interesting new social network that I want to introduce you to. Now, I'm still analyzing this, and it's really just getting started, but it's a very interesting concept called Chime In. While Facebook has earned billions of dollars selling ads next to the content uploaded by their 800 million members, users haven't seen a dime of that money. It's an arrangement that extends across many of the web's largest social networks where you post content and they receive the income for the advertising. Well, the folks over at Chime In have a very interesting approach, and what they are doing is at Chime In, they're sharing 50% of the revenue that is earned from selling advertising on their profile pages with the individuals or brands that sell that real estate themselves and can keep the proceeds from those ads. So this is really sort of an interesting new approach. Whether or not they'll ever have the kind of traffic that will actually generate any income, it still remains to be seen. But we're providing the link to you today so that you can read all about it and start thinking about whether or not your organization might want to include Chime In into your overall social media strategy. We're certainly not at this point. They are not large enough, and we are certainly not suggesting that this is worth dropping your other social media approaches. Quite the opposite. This is just something to put on your radar screen. We will continue to monitor it here at the Nonprofit Coach and keep you posted on what we think about Chime In. Interesting new approach to social media. Now, I was hoping, I do have someone that I was hoping was going to be joining us today. Melissa Brown was going to be joining us today. So I'm going to hold back on one of the page one news items that you'll see over in the radio links today. I'm going to wrap up page one here with a note from the Spring, Powering Social Energy, Big Society Network, coming to us from the UK. The rise and, as they say, the rise of mobile giving through Just Giving. Now, Just Giving is a huge platform for giving in the UK. They are a platform that has a lot of traffic and a lot of donors who rely on that platform. And what they have seen is coming to JustGiving from mobiles has started to increase. This is a platform that continues to see a lot more money in. And you can see all the graphs and all the information that can give you an indication, particularly if you're in the UK listening to us today or listening by podcast. Check out the radio links for what's happening in mobile on JustGiving over in the UK. You'll find that in the radio links at tedhart.com. I think I may be in luck in that I may have Melissa Brown here with us. And Melissa has an exciting announcement of the 2011 Nonprofit Fundraising Survey. Melissa, are you here with us? Hello, Melissa. Oh, I may not have Melissa here. All right, well, then I'm going to go ahead and share with you the radio link for the 2011 Nonprofit Fundraising Survey. If Melissa joins us a little bit later on, I'm hoping that maybe she'll be able to tell us a little bit more about this. But this is a joint project between the National Center for Charitable Statistics, GuideStar, the Association of Fundraising Professionals, the Indiana University Center on Philanthropy, Blackbaud, and GivingUSA Foundation. So a lot of heavy hitters here that are getting behind the 2011 Nonprofit Fundraising Survey, which measures the impact of economic conditions within our community on fundraising efforts for nonprofit organizations and private institutions. This is only a 5 to 6 minute survey. We certainly encourage all of our listeners today to go to the radio links today and to take the 2011 Nonprofit Fundraising Survey as a way to make sure that the data is complete, to make sure that your organization is represented, because this is certainly a survey that a lot of us will be tracking and will want to have very valid results from. So I'm hoping that Melissa Brown will join us a little bit later and share some more information on that, but I'm watching the clock, and it's time for us to head right on over to page two. Over here on page two, it is absolutely my pleasure to welcome here to the Nonprofit Coach a very important pioneer in the nonprofit use of the internet, and that is Stephen Nill, a good friend of mine, who is the founder and CEO of Charity Channel. Welcome here to the Nonprofit Coach, Steve Nill.
Hey, Ted, it's great to be here. I guess this is my second time aboard your show. It's great to talk to you again.
Yeah, we're well into our second year here on the Nonprofit Coach. Yeah. Always great to have you on because of your insight, not just in what's happening right now, but the long-term view of how charities have been using the internet and certainly the utilization of Charity Channel as a way to connect nonprofit professionals worldwide using the internet. So, Steve, I kind of would like to start there. If you can give us an update on what is Charity Channel and what's new on Charity Channel since we last spoke.
Sure. Well, I'm happy to, of course. Well, we're in our 20th year. It's hard to believe. We're about to start our third decade as an online professional community. And I think the reason that people continue to come to Charity Channel and are very enthusiastic about it, it goes back to the whole reason we were created 20 years ago in the first place, which is to provide a very professional, safe environment for colleagues who are working, you know, in the nonprofit trenches, whether they're working, you know, in an office, in a development office somewhere, or maybe they're the executive director of their organization. Where they can come in and find each other and ask questions, answer questions, help each other. And, of course, over the years, they now can write articles for Charity Channel. We've published over 200 articles. You can write books for us, and there's all kinds of things you could do these days, and I'll talk about that. But we're really the same Charity Channel we were when we got started, which is a group of colleagues getting together and really helping each other to advance in their careers and to do their jobs better.
And how has your community changed over that that 20 years? Larger, smaller, up and down? Because certainly utilization of the internet has changed.
Yeah, we're continuing to grow. We have 23,000 subscribers. Our total professional community is still over 100,000 colleagues, one way or the other, whether they're directly subscribed or not. Probably the way it's changed is that obviously the advent of the large social media sites such as LinkedIn and Facebook and so on, Twitter, have sort of changed the dynamics of how people view Charity Channel, and I'll tell you how that works. The social media sites are very large and obviously quite public and very busy and time-consuming in many ways. And they're definitely a huge part of what nonprofits are doing these days and should be doing these days. But if what you really want to do is have a discussion with your peers that is really largely outside of the sight of your constituents, you know, the public, and you want to be frank about your challenges and you don't want to have to, hide it behind, public speak, you can come to Charity Channel, create an account and join any number of professional discussion groups. And if you don't see a professional discussion group on a topic you're interested in, you can now create your own. So we have people creating new professional discussion groups all the time now, and that's a fairly new feature of Charity Channel, and people are just starting to discover it, but when they do, they really like it because it empowers them to decide how to create professional community. The largest area of growth for us has been, frankly, in the middle to larger size nonprofits and institutions that sign up an entire development office as on a group subscription plan, and that lets their members be able to plug into their peers, whether they're across town or across the country, in a professional way, as opposed to going out on some of the social media sites and trying to have a professional discussion about challenges that they're facing and wondering and worrying who all is reading this. I mean, is this stuff being read by somebody who, we're trying to attract to make a gift, and maybe are we sharing a little bit too much information with them? Well, Charity Channel is a pretty safe environment to have those kinds of discussions because we don't have casual members. People who join Charity Channel view themselves as career members of the nonprofit community. They're typically employed by nonprofits and have been for many years, although we have certainly consultants and attorneys and people like that who also join and are very enthusiastic. So you're going to find a smaller but very tuned in and focused group of colleagues if you join Charity Channel. You're going to find they're the kind of people who are facing the challenges you're facing, and so it gives you an opportunity to talk with them online. And that really, again, even though the technology has evolved, and we've got state-of-the-art technology, of course, but it goes back to our roots, which is how we got started. I mean, we got started by a bunch of people in the nonprofit sector who wanted to be able to communicate with each other back in the old days when, everything was done with a listserv. So we've evolved tremendously, but we're still very much to our roots.
That's a good point that you're making, because I do have a sense that we're starting to see some full circle here where, all sites, all communication of that sort were in private networks that you were either part of or you were not. And then things moved much more public in the social media framework. But give me a sense of what you're seeing, and you're certainly well-positioned on Charity Channel, the rise of an interest in these private networks, these opportunities to connect that's not in a social format but in a closed format. I see that topic coming up more and more as something that's seriously considered by a lot of charities in terms of how communication should be done.
Sure. I can give you an example. Let's take grant writers, for example. We, of course, have a fairly large discussion group on Charity Channel on grant writing, but there was a colleague who wanted to break off and focus specifically on a particular kind of grants, in this case federal grants. And so she created her own professional network of colleagues who shared her interest in federal grants. And on Charity Channel, you can go and actually identify others who share your interest through using various search tools and invite them to join. And when you set up a group, you could either make it so that all Charity Channel members can view and join the group if they wish, or you could set it so that everyone can see the group and they can apply to join, but you have to accept them, which is what we call, you know, semi-public. Or you can make it completely private, where the group is completely invisible to anyone else, and you can invite anybody you want. And in fact, we have a number of organizations that use the tool simply to link their people in their own organization together and to have meaningful discussions online. And that's invisible to everybody except people in that particular group. You know, larger isn't always better. I certainly, you know, for example, the LinkedIn groups are wonderful. They're large, they're active, but you don't really know who all is there, and you get a certain you take some risks when you really want to talk about things that, you know, are maybe you don't want the public to see. So the idea here is, let's, you know, give people the tools to locate each other who have similar interests and challenges, and let them form their own groups if they want to, or join ones that they find are useful. And knowing everyone on that group is committed, I mean, first of all, they had to join Charity Channel. It's still $37 a year, so there's a little bit of a barrier to the to the public there, which is actually a good thing. But it's not so high that it's not affordable. And with our group subscription plans, it can be as little as $1 a person per year to join. So it just depends on whether you're signing up as an individual or as a, you know, as a group.
Isn't it a balance between the two? It's
really
not
helps.
Necessarily that because there is a role for the more public in creating sort of a public path,
sure.
You know, it's the difference between, I think, you know, going to a conference and asking a question in a large group as opposed to hiring a consultant and having private consultation.
Yeah, that's true, but it'd be the difference between going to a conference where some of your donors might be there versus creating a smaller group. See, that's the thing, is you have to wonder who is really part of a larger group and how frank and upfront can you really be about challenges you're facing. And I think that a whole lot of questions never get asked because of sensitivity to the organization's reputation, or maybe they're worried things might get misunderstood, the wrong person might see it, or maybe even a member of the media might see it. I mean, the Internet is still like the Wild West, and there's a huge role for the larger social media entities to play here, and I think every nonprofit needs to be directly involved with that, and obviously, Ted, you're the expert on that. But if what you really want is somebody who's sitting in one of your offices who is facing a question perhaps about a prospect research issue, or they have a major donor and the donor is asking about charitable trusts and you have a question, you're not always it's not always well advised to just put that out there in the Wild West, you know, open social media networks. And it's often a better idea to go directly to peers who are, you know, maybe they are plan giving experts and they're facing the same challenges you are, or whatever the expertise area is. So that's how Charity Channel sort of differentiates. In fact, we like to call it a professional network as opposed to a social network, because we're playing with words a little bit. Of course, Charity Channel is, in a sense, a social network, but we view it more as a professional network in the sense that this is a peer-to-peer network, and casual users really don't participate because they're generally not going to have an interest in talking shop unless they are very serious practitioners and really want to do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does, and I think that it's an important role but it's been a constant role for you for
yep.
the couple of decades that you've been engaged in this. Have you seen a constant array of people utilizing those services, or do you see people coming back to it now?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The core of Charity Channel are folks who work directly for nonprofits, and often, you know, whether it's in the fund development office or maybe it's an advancement office in a university, as well as a lot of senior executives. You know, we have a lot of executive directors. In fact, we have a forum, a discussion group just for executive directors, and it's screened. You have to be provably an executive director even to participate. That has never changed. What has changed is some of the consultants who participate on Charity Channel have become very enamored of the social media, and they're very active on things like Twitter and somewhat on LinkedIn and Facebook. So the volume of their activity on Charity Channel for a period of time dropped off considerably. But what we have found is they're using the social networks really to help draw and attract attention, positive attention, and build their consulting practices, or maybe the products, if that's their bent, and that's fine. But they're coming back to Charity Channel when they want to talk shop, when they have a specific thing that they want help with, that maybe they're not so anxious to show that they don't know the answer, so they might come back to Charity Channel and put out a question and have their peers help them with something they're struggling with. Or maybe they just want to give back by helping their peers, and so they offer advice too. So consultants are kind of coming back, but a lot of them are still sort of mesmerized by all the excitement of the social networks, and they're out there doing their thing. But by and large, the core of Charity Channel are people in the, who work for nonprofits and who don't have the same agenda, perhaps, that somebody who is consulting or offering products will have. And so they just want to talk to their peers in a quiet way and make sure that they're getting the help that they need. And also they love to give help back. I mean, people on Charity Channel have been very generous with their advice over the years. And I'm proud of that. I mean, that's really kind of how we got started, and that has never changed. And that's, lots of things have changed about Charity Channel, of course, as with anyone that's been around this long. But that's the one thing that has never changed, and I'm just thrilled to be able to report that to you.
Well, and that's, I think that's important for people to know, sort of the role of Charity Channel. But there's more to Charity Channel than just the discussion groups. Give us a
sure.
broader view of some of the other activities that you're involved with, and some of those are quite new.
Sure. Well, the newest is the advent of Charity Channel Press, which was created, formally launched last May. So it's brand new. It's a publishing venture where we're putting out books and manuals and workbooks. In fact, our seventh book, our seventh title on prospect research is coming out in about 2 weeks. But that builds on over a decade of publishing electronically, where colleagues in the professional community would write down-to-earth, easy-to-read articles on any number of topics. And it was that experience, it was a very positive experience where we have all of these articles, over 2,000 articles that have been contributed to Charity Channel. I think I said 200 earlier, and I meant to say 2,000. There are over 2,000 articles contributed to Charity Channel. And after 10 years of that experience, we really felt that we were ready to step forward and move into the book publishing arena. And we launched our first line of books called the In the Trenches series, which really is very befitting for Charity Channel because, we sort of view ourselves as in the trenches. And these books are on sort of bread and butter topics for the practitioner. In fact, Ted, you were a contributor to You and Your Nonprofit, which is a book that just came out recently. Almost a 500-page book with over 47 contributors. And the common element to all of these books is they're written in the first person. They're written in a fun, upbeat style, and they're written on topics that are very, very much needed by practitioners. And it's not so much that these topics haven't been covered by other publications, but our particular approach is one of high pragmatism. In other words, you buy one of these books because you really want to accomplish it. I mean, you really want to understand prospect research, and you want to implement it, and you want to know how to do it, or how to cultivate and ask for money from a major donor, which is asking about asking. Or perhaps you're a small shop and you don't know quite how to start your development office. or take it to the next level. And so we have a book called 50 Asks in 50 Weeks, which is specifically for the small shop by Amy Eisenstein. So those are some of
and we're very excited to have Amy coming on the show. She'll be our guest here on the Nonprofit Coach on December 13th. We will have a whole show devoted to that new book, 50 Asks in 50 Weeks.
Well, I compliment you, Ted, and thank you for that. She's a great person to interview and high energy, and I think people will really enjoy hearing from her. And her book is, by the way, one of the funnest things I've ever read. I had the opportunity to help edit the book, and it's just a lot of fun. And as I understand, next week you're going to have Linda Lysakowski on. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to, we're just going to take a quick break here. When we come back, I do want to ask you to give us a little bit of a preview of Linda and her work. I know she's been quite involved with you for quite a while, and we'll be right back after this brief reminder.
Okay.
Remember, our podcasts and archives are always available 24 hours a day at tedhart.com. Click on radio links. If you're listening live today, the phone lines are open. Call in and ask a question by dialing 347-324-3080. Now, back to the Nonprofit Coach with Ted Hart.
Steve, we're back. Actually, we do have an email question from Donna in Tampa, and she's asking if Charity Channel is free.
Hi, Donna. Charity Channel is $37 a year, which is really close to free. but we actually are able to sustain the whole operation with a very low annual fee. And so that's how we do it. And one of the advantages to having it not be free is we don't have casual members. In other words, if you join Charity Channel, you've paid the fee, you are serious about your career, and you're going to be rubbing shoulders with colleagues who are similarly serious. And that's not to say that free resources aren't wonderful. In my philosophy, free almost always trumps paid. But in a case like this, one of the important ways that we maintain the professional level of discourse on Charity Channel and our standards is to have a modest annual fee, which hasn't gone up in years. We've kept it the same.
So that has not changed over time?
Not in many years.
Recently. I know it has over time, but
not
recently.
In recent years.
That's been pretty stable.
Yeah, we know that we've chosen not to raise our rates, even though we've, in theory, could support it and people would pay it, but we're keeping them low on purpose.
So we do have Linda Lysakowski. You had brought her up before the reminder, and she's going to be our guest next week on capital campaigns and raising big dollars. But she has a bigger role, sort of a big involvement with Charity Channel in advance of next week's show, which obviously we want to wet the whistle of all of our listeners today to join us next week and be able to hear from Linda directly. Give us an idea of the role that she plays in a couple different capacities with Charity Channel.
Well, sure. Linda is one of our real success stories. You know, I view Charity Channel's role of you know, when a colleague comes forward and wants to be active with the community, our job is to help him or her do that. And Linda originally was very active on our discussion group discussions, and that's how she became known to us. And when we launched the Charity University Project, and Ted, I know you're very familiar with that because we collaborated on that extensively for quite some time. We were one of the first to put out distance learning for nonprofit organizations and launching webinars. Linda was very active with that, and some of her most popular Charity University classes were on capital campaigns. And over the years, she's really honed her ability. When you do a lot of presentations and you have a lot of clients over time, you get really effective at communicating how to do a capital campaign correctly from beginning to end. So when we launched Charity Channel Press, we obviously turned to Linda to write the capital campaigns book and actually two or three other books, which she's either written or is writing. And so she wrote Capital Campaigns, Everything You Need to Know. And this book is something that picks up on our philosophy of being very easy to read and yet delivering what you really do it correctly. She wrote it in a fun, first-person, upbeat style, and she walks you through conducting the campaign from start to finish. And along the way, she uses a lot of sidebars and stories from the trenches, you know, actual stories of things, and illustrates them well. And people tell me that, you know, they found the book, all they really needed to get started in a campaign, but others are saying it's also helped them to get their campaigns back on track. And she even addresses the fact that this is perceived to be kind of a poor time for capital campaigns with the economy the way it is. And, of course, there's some truth to that. But she really dispels the notion that that nonprofits ought to be putting them off. And I think she does us all a great service when she, you know, when she does that. So the book,
Steve, one of the things that you brought up that really does seem to sort of redefine Charity Channel, if not just bring it to the forefront, is this notion of Charity Channel being in the trenches, of you know, having your colleagues, having your comrades with you in the trenches, and having a place to go when you might be a one-person shop or you might just have a few people that you're interacting with in your office. Charity Channel actually expands that and allows you to be in the trenches with others. So I really like that concept, and it seems like that's something that makes you quite unique.
Thank you. Well, it really seems to be the thing that sort of permeates everything, you know, that we're doing. And I should mention, if any listeners are interested in starting to write for their colleagues, we're always accepting my colleagues to write for our articles. I mean, as I mentioned, we've published over 2,000 articles in the last 10 years. We're going to be expanding our category of offerings, and they're free to Charity Channel members to read. So once you join Charity Channel, you can read all of the articles. But if you'd like to help give back to your colleagues, maybe you've got a lot of experience in a field, and I know you're probably very busy, but that's because you're successful. You probably would have time to write maybe 3 or 4 articles in a given year for Charity Channel and give back in that way, and also, of course, to advance one's career. And it's also another way to become known to our editors. Oh, and I should have mentioned, you were asking about Linda Lysakowski. She's also one of our editors, so you can always speak with her about a book idea as well. So that's something
Great.
You might want to cover with her next week.
Talking about Linda, you mentioned, you know, how after you've done things for a while, you get really good at that, and that's a wonderful transition. I do want to take just a little bit of a break. As I mentioned earlier, we were hoping that Melissa Brown would be able to join us. Melissa Brown is here with us, and this is someone who has a great deal of experience in surveying and in data related to the nonprofit sector. So, Steve, join us right here, and we're going to have Melissa Brown join us here on the show. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing well, Ted. Thank you very much. How are you?
Hey, great. Yeah, we had you up on Page One News, and I'm glad that you're able to join us now just for a few moments. Steve Nill is here with us, and I just wanted to get a chance to chat because Steve is certainly one who understands the value of data and surveying. So I did in Page One today introduce our audience to the 2007 Nonprofit Fundraising Survey. We have a link to the survey in the radio links today at tedhart.com. But since we have the opportunity to spend a couple of minutes with you, I wanted you to introduce this in your own way and give us an idea of why this survey is important.
Thank you so much, Ted. It's a pleasure to be here. And hi, Stephen. It's good to shake hands with you across the country, too.
Hi, Melissa. It's been a while. It's nice to speak with you.
I am now part of the Nonprofit Research Collaborative, which is 6 different organizations. We all used to survey charities one at a time, and we kept hearing charities don't have time to do surveys. So we put our resources together, and we now have one survey that we issue 3 times a year, and that's it. Some of the membership organizations do other work for their members, but this is the one survey that these 6 groups do to find out, to take the pulse of fundraising right now. We do have one in the field, Ted. Thank you so much for putting up the link on your webpage. For those of you who aren't able to get to Ted's page right now, it's www.nonprofitfundraisingsurvey.org, all one word, nonprofitfundraisingsurvey.org. It asks just a few questions. Everything is multiple choice. We're not asking for any calculations. Most people don't need to check with their finance offices. They just know the answers because they've been doing this, as Stephen pointed out, in the trenches. They know the work going on in their organizations. We're really interested this time in hearing how fundraising is this year, of course, but we're also interested in what organizations are planning for next year, where they're going to be increasing their investment, where they might be decreasing their investment, and how they're coping with this economic climate. So it's really helpful to find out stories, kinds of stories that you talked about Linda putting in her book. Sometimes we're able to use quotations in the reports so that people can really learn from one another what's working, what's not, where something's working, and maybe even why, if people are able to give us some perspective on what's going on in their organizations. So I'm excited to have a chance to talk about it.
So one of the reasons why we shared this this link today, because you're right, nonprofits do sort of get inundated with so many different surveys, and there's only so much time that you can give back in that way and still keep your office running efficiently. But one of the reasons why we shared that is because of your involvement with this collaborative, because one of the things that I know of you in our many years of association is that you're someone who knows how to survey, you know what's statistically significant, and you know how to do the analysis. So I'm thrilled that this collaborative has come together. Give us a sense of, you know, the numbers of charities you expect to participate and when the survey results might be available.
We are looking for thousands of participants representing the entire country and every different subsector and every size of organization. I don't know how many thousands yet. Sometimes it's several thousand, sometimes it's a couple thousand. So we're hoping for that level of response this time. The survey itself will be closing early next week. So your listeners need to jump on the computer and spend 15 minutes at nonprofitfundraisingsurvey.org to take the survey. I'm shooting to have the report out around Thanksgiving. Again, it is a collaboration with six organizations, and each one does a tremendous amount to make this possible. But as you know, at this time of year, everybody's got conferences and meetings and so forth, so we're working with people's goodwill to get it done by Thanksgiving time.
That's great. So the report will be out at that time, or the analysis will be done by then?
Well, the analysis is the report. So the Center on Philanthropy at Indiana University is actually doing the first level of analysis, and then we're preparing collectively a report to issue around Thanksgiving publicly. It'll be online, free for anybody who's interested.
That's great. Well, Melissa, I'm hoping that we can schedule a few moments more with you when the results come out so that you can announce the results here on the Nonprofit Coach and let folks know what good work goes into filling out these surveys.
Yeah, could I have just a moment more, Ted, to talk about the survey that came out a few weeks ago? We did survey in the summer, and one of the questions on that survey was about Camp Huddle campaigns. Actually, Stephen, going back to your topic and Linda's book, and if people are interested, they can go to the GuideStar site and get the results. I can also send it to you, Ted, to post if you're interested. And a very high percentage of organizations said they are in a campaign or planning one, about a third, actually. However, those who are planning campaigns haven't often planned for uncollectible pledges. And that's the kind of resource that we can get with this kind of survey that no other type of study will give us. What percentage of people are in campaigns or planning campaigns or organizations, and whether or not they're planning for uncollectible pledges. It's the first kind of finding on those two topics. So I wanted to let your listeners interested in campaigns know about that.
Did your survey give any indication of the percentage of uncollectible donations to an average capital campaign?
We don't have the data about what the actual percentage is, but we did ask for those who are planning an allowance for uncollectible pledges, the average is 5% that they're planning. Now, there was a pretty wide range. Some groups had a very high percentage of uncollectible pledges budgeted in as part of their campaign planning. But on average, it was around 5%.
Around 5% drop off from pledge to payment. Well, certainly, if you can send that to me, I think that'll be a very important survey link for us to be able to share with our audience next week, with Linda Lysakowski coming on as our page 2 expert and giving all of our listeners an opportunity to learn directly from Linda next week.
That's great. Linda's fabulous, too. I sing her praises along with Stephen, so I'm thrilled to be in their company, actually. Thank you.
Oh, that's great.
Same here,
Melissa.
Thank
you for joining us here, Melissa Brown, from the Nonprofit Survey Collaborative, sharing with us the importance of everyone participating in this new survey. As Melissa said, that's going to be closing early next week, so please follow the link at tedhart.com. Click on radio links, and you'll be able to go directly to the survey. It only takes 5 to 6 minutes. And, Melissa, we'll get you back on here on the show so that everybody who's participating in the survey can also hear all about the results.
I look forward to it, Ted. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us here today on The Nonprofit Coach. We're back here with our Page 2 expert, Stephen Nill. Thank you for your flexibility Stephen, on letting us hear directly from Melissa Brown today. The surveys are important, and certainly that's been a big part of the Charity Channel over time as well.
Well, that's right. Charity Channel has always been a place where you can, you know, where we have a pretty broad representation of the nonprofit sort of practitioner community, and surveys that go to questions about management trends and other kinds of trends among practitioners have been taken over the years, and I think, you know, it's a unique opportunity. Whereas what you're really trying to do is survey all profits as such, Charity Channel is probably not the right place, you know, for that. But obviously, there are lots of other avenues. But, you know, as a community of practitioners, this is a great place to come for surveys. Yep.
Give us a sense. You've talked about the opportunities to participate in groups to learn from each other. You've talked about the new Charity Channel Press, which is a very exciting way for our listeners to be able to connect directly with some of these experts. But Charity Channel goes even beyond that to your own conference as well.
Yes, we have our annual conference, which we typically collaborate with other professional organizations that we have, you know, great relationships with, and donate all of the Charity Channel conference proceeds to the other organization. And it's one of the ways that we try to give back in the, you know, in the professional community. And for example, this month actually we had a conference in Las Vegas with the Grant Professionals Association, which we're going to do every year. We did it last year as well. And we're able to bring a great deal of programming to the conference that is outside of the particular professional area of our co-sponsoring group. For example, Grant Professionals Association obviously is going to program its sessions and other things at the conference for grant writers, whereas we bring in programming for executive directors and other disciplines of fund development than grant writing, and so we'll get into things like governance and management and you know, be quite a bit broader. And so the organizations that we partner with find it to be very helpful because, number one, it allows them to offer even more to their members than was available before, and number two, it helps them generate a considerably larger amount of revenue for their conference with just a little bit more work. Sometimes, you know, they could, you know, double or triple their revenue in theory. So we haven't quite achieved that mark, but we're working toward it. So we're looking to partner with organizations that would like to work with us. We have enthusiastic volunteers. In fact, we mentioned Linda Lysakowski. She was the chair of the conference this year. They tapped some of the top experts in the field to come to the conferences and put on sessions. I'm very proud of our
When and where program. Is your next conference?
It's going to be in St. Louis next year, and gosh, you just I don't have the date in front of me. I apologize. I'll post it on the Charity Channel website. We'll make sure that gets up there today. But it's I believe it's next November. There is a date. I just don't know it.
Okay. Well, if you want to take a look at that, I'm just share the upcoming episode schedule for this show, the Nonprofit
right.
Coach with Ted Hart, as we've been discussing here, a very unique and wonderful opportunity for people to join us next week with Linda Lysakowski here talking about capital campaigns. That is on November 1st, and that is at 12 noon Eastern. The week after that is an exceptional show not to be missed, and that is one of the top executives from LinkedIn, Connie Chang Wang, is going to be with us, and she's going to be specifically talking about LinkedIn nonprofits and LinkedIn for Good. So this is a real opportunity for you to call in and to ask every question you ever had about LinkedIn and how nonprofits can use LinkedIn. And for those of you who are regular listeners here to the Nonprofit Coach, you will know that in the United States, for charities in the United States, LinkedIn is the third most important strategy online, right behind a solid website, an email service, and a GuideStar strategy. And for those of you who are outside of the United States, not actively engaged with GuideStar, LinkedIn is actually your number two most important strategy around the world. So November 8th at 12 noon Eastern becomes a very important show. The very next day is our next very special edition of the Nonprofit Coach, The Green Show, and that is on November 9th at 3 p.m. Eastern, and that is with Adrian Capps, who's going to be talking about fundraising, how to make your fundraising more green, and how to raise green dollars. So that's important. We're going to round out middle of November, we're going to have Randy Moss, who's going to be talking about nonprofit and fundraising innovation, and he is one of the top experts in that area. And Steve, we're going to be taking Thanksgiving week off, so there will not be a show on November 22nd, so folks can mark that on their calendar as a great day to catch up with over 60 podcasts of the Nonprofit Coach, which are available on almost every topic of the nonprofit sector. And then we come back and round out the month of November with Kendall Webb, who is one of the top online fundraising experts and mobile giving experts here in the United States, and she's with JustGive.org. And then, Steve, we bring back December 13th, coming right back with another Charity Channel favorite. Amy Eisenstein is going to be here releasing her new book, 50 Asks in 50 Weeks. We're rounding out the rest of the December schedule, but we're going to wrap up with our holiday show with the most popular podcast ever in the history of the Nonprofit Coach has been the podcast from last year's holiday show with Kay Sprinkle Grace. And so Kay will be coming back to reprise her success and rounding out our holiday show on December 20th. So that gives sort of the long view of several very important topics that are coming up here on the Nonprofit Coach. And we're thrilled to be able to have the opportunity to highlight a couple of your good friends and colleagues with Charity Channel Press.
Wonderful. And while you were doing
that,
I was desperately flipping through my notes, and I forget St. Louis that I said our conference next year. That's another year. Next year it's in Indianapolis, October 17 through 20.
home of the Center on Philanthropy at Indiana University.
Yep.
You're going to be right in their backyard. And give
That's
us that
right.
date again.
October 17 through 20.
Okay, so plenty of time for folks to plan, almost exactly a year away from now, but a great opportunity for people to be able to connect with you. Speaking of books, I do want to draw attention to our sponsor for today, which is John Wiley & Sons, who is here on the show promoting the Internet Management for Nonprofits book. And, Steve, that's all about strategies, tools, and trade secrets, helping nonprofits understand how they can better manage their organizations through the use of the Internet, not just for fundraising, but things such as e-governance, management models, social networking information, and collaboration and coordination of staff activity. So all that's covered in Internet Management for Nonprofits, and that's available on Amazon, your favorite bookstores, and, of course, available in the radio links today at tedhart.com. Steve, I'm just watching our time here together, and I did want to explore this real focus that seems to have always been there, but maybe coming to the forefront now of what really defines or makes Charity Channel unique and special, and that's that opportunity to be in the trenches with your colleagues. Give us a little bit more of a sense of where does that come from, and how does that permeate the work that you do?
Sure. Well, you know, Charity Channel was started, actually I helped found it when I was putting together a development team for the first time for a nonprofit. And this was in the days when the internet was still very new and listservs were just getting started. And there wasn't a listserv in our sector that you could join and discuss challenges with your colleagues. So I started one. And frankly, when I started it, I didn't give it a second thought, but you know, I was very much ensconced in my work for building this development office for this chain. But the thing took off, and you know, within a month, there were 200 people on there, you know, all happily talking with each other. And by the end of a year, I think it was up to 1,500 or 1,600 colleagues. So when my two-year contract, I was a consultant, when my two-year contract ran its course, I saw what was happening and got very excited about the possibility of using the internet for social collaboration, or professional collaboration, I should say, in this case, and formalized that initial discussion community into what is today Charity Channel. Of course, I've had a lot of help along the way. There are hundreds of volunteers who've made this all happen. And so today, you know, you can create, you have your own page on Charity Channel as a member. Other people can link with you on your page and communicate with you privately through your page. They could read about you, look at your headshot if you want to provide that, see what articles you might have written for Charity Channel, see what classes you've taught, see what books you've written. Follow you on a daily basis if they want to on your professional comings and goings. It's a great way to sort of take what we were already kind of doing informally through Charity Channel, but now doing it using the advanced electronic tools that are available to us, you know, on today's modern Charity Channel website. And so we have a free 15-day trial for those of you who haven't experienced Charity Channel, or perhaps haven't been part of it recently, so you can sign in, and it's an unlimited trial. In other words, there are no restrictions. There's, you know, it's a full membership for 15 days, and I encourage anyone who's interested in exploring Charity Channel to take advantage of the free membership.
And, of course, over in the radio links today, we've provided a link to Charity Channel for all of our listeners. So if you're over there exploring all the other links that we provided to you today, you can click right there and go directly to Charity Channel. And thank you, Steve, for offering that that 15-day trial for our listeners today. Now, as we're winding down here, we only have a couple minutes left here on the show. I simply cannot let you go, Steve Neal, without pointing out just what kind of Renaissance man you are, because you also produce music.
Well, yeah, guilty. I write music, and I have a whole lot of it in a drawer, and some of it has actually been performed. So, I have to do something with the wee hours of the morning, and that's what I do.
Well, you certainly have been a pioneer here in the nonprofit sector. I cannot thank you enough for sharing your expertise through Charity Channel and giving a forum for so many of our colleagues to be able to gather together, to work together, and to share their best outcomes in the trenches with their colleagues. And I really like that focus of Charity Channel. Steve, just a final message from you as we wrap up this edition of the Nonprofit Coach.
Well, I would really love to get to know anyone who's new to Charity Channel. Again, I encourage that 15-day trial. If you take advantage of that, go to my profile page, which is charitychannel.com/cc/Stephen, STEPHEN NILL, and you can send me a private message letting me know that you've joined Charity Channel and that you're trying it out. And I would love to, you know, answer any questions or introduce you to anybody you might want to meet. You know, some of the people on Charity Channel are very accomplished, have 10, 20, 30 or more years in the sector. that you're a member, you would be amazed who you can rub shoulders with. And maybe you've seen an author of one of our books. That author is a member of Charity Channel, and you can communicate with him or her directly if you want to and start a dialogue. So it's really powerful, and I just encourage anyone who thinks they might have an interest to give it a try.
That's great. Steve, thank you again for being our guest here on the Nonprofit Coach. We'll be right back next Tuesday. Thank you for joining us here. Catch you next week. Take care. Bye.
Bye, Ted.
You've been listening to the Nonprofit Coach Radio Show with Ted Hart. Tell all your friends to check out our production schedule and download our iPod and iPad-friendly podcast at tedhart.com. Thanks for listening to the Nonprofit Coach.